so we're going to go ahead and get started. I often have too much to say and not enough time, but I have my watch, my phone set, 5 minutes for questions. If I can answer them, if I can't answer them, I'll say, go see your pastor. What your pastor teaches you, you follow your pastor. We're probably on the same page pretty much, but I'm not here to have you go and, well, Pastor Ron said this, you know. No. You follow your pastor's teaching. Every church should follow the leadership of their pastor. However, I've been the pastor of the same church for 39 years. And you say, what's the secret? Well, they like my wife. She's the better part of the ministry, you know. And really, we live in an area where there's a lot of people up from Kentucky. And so we're walking out one day, and this lady from Kentucky, you know, has my wife's hand, and she's tapping my wife's hand. And she says, Miss Sandra, we know why you're so sweet and your husband's not. Now, I'm standing there. And my wife's family is from the hills of Virginia. Her daddy was a coal miner. And before she was born, they moved up from Hayside, Virginia, Clinch Cove, Virginia. To get to her house, we had to go across the Sway Bridge, you know. So, I mean, she's deep south. But she was born in Ohio. And so Nyla knew my wife was, her family was from Virginia. So she's tapping my wife's hand, and she says, it's because you're from the South, and he's a Yankee. And because I made things before, this was the almost the southernest part that I've ever lived in, you know. And so I feel like I'm in the South, and so she had to correct it. But anyway, so she is my better half, and I thank God for her. We just celebrated our 52nd anniversary. And people ask how I did it. One thing I say is forgiveness. Amen. You can't spend time together without somebody somewhere along the line offending you or you offending them. That's just life. And with me being the pastor there for 39 years, I have found that, you know, if somebody's drinking in the church, you deal with it. Somebody's running around, you deal with it. But I have found that there are some secret sins that people can hold on to. I don't know right now if you are struggling with forgiving somebody or vice versa, but I have found, and this isn't original with me, this statement I'm going to say, is unforgiveness destroys the person who's carrying it. It will hurt you more than it will hurt the person who needs to be forgiven. You ever hear those that lineage where it says, you know, give way to, I may not be quoting it perfect, wrath, bitterness, malice. And that's sort of a progression of when you keep an unforgiving spirit, pretty soon, you're not going to be the same person you want to be. Now, I've had two times in 39 years, I wish, you know, silence is a better part of virtue. And it had to do with the same man that offended these people. And I mentioned something. Actually, this man was a pastor. He ended up splitting the church I'm pastoring now. It all happened before I got there. And this often happens. Boy, you get a building project, you get it done, and the pastor resigns, you know. And so then, under false pretense, another pastor came, and they contacted him and said, well, what should we do? Start a new church. Imagine, 6-7 weeks earlier, he was pastoring this church, and he said, start a new church. So, of course, he came back and started it, etc., helped him start it, didn't pastor because he was in evangelism. But this really affected these two families. It affected the kids. And so, make a long story short, he believed it was God's will for him to come back. And reunite the churches. And one of the men who still had acquaintance with them says, Beacon Baptist, that's where I pastor, says, has a good pastor. But the other church was struggling. And somebody asked him, well, who's going to be the pastor? He said, well, I'll be the pastor. Well, these two families, she was old enough to be my mom. Some of her sons were my age. She just started unloading on this pastor. And she said to me, now I've been there probably 10 years already, and I never saw her act like this. She started unloading, and her lip was quivering, and she's shaking, and she says, Pastor, I don't care what you say, I'll never forgive him. So being a young pastor that I was probably 46, I said, then you can't be right with God. Oh boy, did I offend her saying that? How can I determine if somebody's going to be right with God or not? Well, if you're harboring bitterness in your heart, you're not obeying the scriptures. And if somebody's not obeying the scriptures, can they be right with God?
No.
No. So a few years later, somebody moved back, and his kids actually didn't turn out for the Lord, and he sort of blamed this pastor. When he found out about it, he was attending our church for a while. There was a funeral that I went to. Actually, it was the husband of this lady who said, this is on forgiveness if you want to come on.
Yes, sir.
And this was the husband of the lady who said she could never forgive. And I went, and that pastor came up to me. And I never met the man. Never met the man. He's a big guy like this, you know. He comes up and he sticks his hand out and he says, hi, I'm, and he tells me his name. I said, hi, I'm Pastor Stratman from Beacon. He says, I know who you are. That man, next Sunday, caught me before church started. He said, Pastor, this is the last Sunday we're going to be here. I said, why? Did I do something? You sure did. Now, you know, pastors wish they would talk to him and they would come to us, not before church. You know, don't ever load your pastor down with a problem before church. Let him keep his mind clear and free that he can clearly teach the word. So this is before church. And I said, well, what did I do that got you so upset? You shook his hand. I said, what? I saw you at the cemetery. You shook his hand. How could you shake his hand? Beads. You ever find somebody really upset? Beads of perspiration over his top lip. He was downright angry. It's the last time I seen him. He again, I'll never forgive him what he did to my family. Me, a few years under my belt, I still said the same thing. Well, if you can't forgive him, you're not right with God. I made it matter. Now, I don't want to ever make somebody mad. But I want to be like the Apostle Paul, where he says in the book of Acts, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. And I find unforgiveness is hurting so many Christians. Yes. Because they won't deal with it. Yes. And it's male and female. It's young and old. I've had young people who are so upset with their parents, or all upset with dad, and say, I just can't forgive him. Guess what I said? And so I want to challenge us. It's not easy. But God has never instructed us to do something from his word that he will not help us do.
Amen.
If he teaches us, for instance, our text verse was from the book of Ephesians, and turn there. I just have a few verses. I may quote some for time's sake. But I find, let me tell you another thing, and I'm just, you know, lovingly, there's a joke going around our church, and I'm fine with it. Lovingly, my wife has a rabbit. And you ever have a preacher get on a rabbit trail? and you know, sometimes she holds it up, you know, and sometimes she holds it up a little bit more, you know. I used to tell when I knew when I was in trouble. My wife would put her head down. And then if she grabbed her necklace, I was really interested. If she was wiggling it back and forth, I said, oh boy, I must have done something she didn't like. You know. And I thank God that she'll tell me after church. I said, well, what did I do? What did I say? Well, honey, maybe you shouldn't have said that. Or, you know, pastors need a good pastor wife to help them out. They can be our best critique because they know us the best. She, you know, don't think ill of my wife in any way. It's gotten to be a joke about the rabbit, you know, and so we make it a joke. But I think another thing that is hurting God's people and nobody ever wants to deal with it is gossip. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And what's the last one? He that sows discord. And man, I don't want to say, I mean, we've had it in our church over the years. Certain people will be a gossip. And sometimes the things they're saying are true. But they have no business saying them. You don't say something like that to a stranger that comes in the church first time. Don't say it at all. If you have no business saying it, amen, keep your mouth shut.
Yes.
That hurts churches too.
Yeah.
And individuals. Now, back to the text. I'm glad none of you have rabbits. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. And look at verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Now, I'm not a scholar. I'm just one beggar taken from other beggars, giving to other beggars. That phrase, exactly or even as, I've been told and I've read, it means exactly like. Exactly like what? As God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. What has God not forgiven you of? I don't care what he... Is that God saying that to any of us? They're all under the blood, amen? Amen. I'm glad for that. And so we've got to understand that God is giving us some instructions here, and one of it is forgiving exactly like he does. So why would God tell us to do that if he wouldn't help us accomplish it? But you just don't understand. Yes, I don't understand. Why you don't want to trust God to have the victory over unforgiveness? Because it will hurt you. And you let it fester enough, you'll hurt the people closest to you. Because it just doesn't stay unforgiveness. So let's see a couple things. Well, I got this for some notes. Look up here at verse number 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So go to number 2 since we're here. Look at number 2. And what we must be willing to do is let go of resentment and hurt. I'm telling you, you have probably hurt people that you never intended to hurt. And they have probably hurt you sometime where they didn't mean it. But it happens. You know, if another woman criticizes another woman's outfit and another woman tells them, you got problems. It just happens. And it's not just women. I gave you an illustration of a man and a woman who's been harboring unforgiveness for years. Let it go. How can you carry something for years? Now, remember this morning the pastor talked about something, and then he made a statement like this. It's not about you, Spanky. Remember he said that? You know why we can't let things go? Because it's about us. Well, they laughed at me. I teach people this. If you learn to laugh at yourself, it won't bother you so much when other people laugh at you. I mean, sometimes I just mess up. And I said, well, I am what I am. You get what you see. I never try to purposely upset anybody. I know sometimes the preaching, and I've had to go to people's houses and say this, you know, if there's anything I did that upset you, because of my actions or my words, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? But if it's from some clear teaching and preaching from God's Word, I'm not apologizing for that. And they have to let go of things. Well, I remember I had a traumatic experience growing up. Nothing compared to what the lesson I was in before. But there's 6 boys and 2 girls as my brothers and sisters. My parents have brown eyes. Their parents have brown eyes. Every one of my siblings has brown eyes. I have been blessed with blue So what did my older sister and brothers convince me of?
He was adopted.
That I was adopted. And they're saying, well, Ronnie, you're not really one of us. I was about 8 or 9 years old. And they just kept grilling. And it changed me. And my mom, she tried to, what's wrong? Nothing. You know, whenever somebody gives you such a curt answer, when they say, is there something wrong? Mm-hmm. Tell the truth.
Yeah. Yes.
Sometimes I do this as a joke. You're going to be my guinea pig today. I walk around a lot. But anyway, he asked me how I am. And I said, I'm terrible. And more times than not, you know what they say? Well, that's good. We get so accustomed of just giving a greeting, we don't even pay attention to what they're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I say, did you hear what I said? Well, you said you were okay. I said, that's not what I said. I said I was terrible. Sometimes we just like to hear what we want to hear. And then we're in the wrong. We've got to let go of that resentment and that hurt and whatever else there is. You say, how can I do that? Lord, this is really bothering me. And I can't have victory by myself. I need to have victory in my life so I can forgive this person. If God has given you victory, don't bring it up 20 years later in a fight. You say, does that happen? And some marriage counseling. The wife will bring something up from 10, 15, 20 years ago, and the husband says, I did that? You don't remember? And all of a sudden, I got a fight right there. I said, well, if I did that, I'm sorry. Well, it's too late now to say you're sorry. If it was still an issue, it should have been dealt with. So let go of that resentment and that hurt. And if you're struggling with it, say, God, I can't have victory over this unless you help me. And I'm willing to trust you. In Luke chapter 6, verse 28, it tells us to pray for them which despitefully use us and hurt us. You can look the verse up. How often do you pray for those people that may have hurt you? Or maybe you have hurt them. You know, I teach this. Excuse me. I tell people, why don't we do things biblically? If my brother has offended me, tell everybody but the person. Isn't that what happens a lot? I tell people if we have a problem with somebody, or if we need to go to them, I said, the first person you talk to is the Lord. You don't talk to anybody else. Sometimes I make people upset. I say, well, have you talked to God about it? Not yet. Well, he should be first, not me. Sometimes people just want some assurance from you. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Man, but I do believe if we pray and we're praying sincerely and the Spirit of God is indwelling and has free sway in our heart, he'll help prepare you and prepare the person that needs to be dealt with. But I do want to tell you this. Not always will the other person respond scripturally. Would to God everybody would always respond. And there could be that perfect reconciliation. But if you do it God's way, you're helping yourself. That this root of anger and bitterness springing up in you, what's the next word? Defile. You've got to take care of this inside you, lest it's springing up within you and will defile you. So I'm praying for him. I'm praying for me. My pastor always used to say, if anybody ever brings anything up, first thing you want to do is ask God, is there any truth to what they're saying? I sometimes get defensive. I think I'm doing the best I can preaching, and somebody criticizes it. Do you know, Pastor, you mispronounced that word? Oh, how do you pronounce it? There are some words in the Bible that, you know, I get hung up on. And if it's one of them words I can get tripped up on, the longer I think about it, the worse it is. So I got a lady who sits right up over here, second pew, just like you're in the second row. Normally her husband's there and she's right there. And if she sees me struggling, she'll say the word out loud for me. Praise the Lord for that. She's not being mean. She knows it. I can read those $10 words, but sometimes I can't always pronounce them. But then that bothers people sometimes. Or in my first session, I told them the book to turn to, and I'm going. And they say, what chapter? Pastor, you always forget to tell us what chapter. You tell us the book, but you don't tell us. Oh, come on. Lord, let it be under the blood. Pray for them. Let go of the resentment. Let go of the hurt and all those other things. You can put there, pray for yourself too. Number 3, Luke chapter 6. Well, let's turn there. That's a good verse. Of course, whenever I say that, I say, all the verses in the Bible are good. Amen?
Amen.
I may not understand them all, but Luke chapter 6. And this one is in Luke chapter 6. And look at verse number 36. Sort of goes with our introductory verse, but look at verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is also merciful. I think sometimes people just haven't been taught better. And they just, you know, speak their mind. They don't think. My mom always told us kids, make sure your brain is engaged before your mouth. And some people aren't like that. They just... And then with pride. Well, I just tell it as I see it. And then I have to... Well, is that Christ-like? My forgiving people and my dealing with people who have hurt me or that I may have hurt them, I need to be merciful in my behavior in all things as the Father has been merciful with me. Forgiving one another even as, or if I would say, now church, what does that mean? They'll say, exactly like God has forgiven us for Christ. If you don't If you're not asking God, Lord, help me to be merciful. And then my last point. Doesn't mean we're close to being done. Matthew 18. A little boy in church one Sunday asked his mom, says, "Mom, what does it mean when pastor closes his Bible?" And I heard her say, "Doesn't mean anything." So it may be my last point. But look at Matthew 18. My folks laugh with me. I was about ready to say they laugh at me, but they laugh with me. Look at Matthew 18, verse 21. It says, "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?' Jesus said unto thee, said unto him, 'I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Now, when I went to school, it's hard for me to believe, 1972. she's looking away now. I just had my 71st birthday last Monday. No, I don't act like it. Some say I don't look like it, but I'm 71 years young. Driving down the highway one time, remember how Isaac was sporting with his wife? And that's how Pharaoh knew. So I was sporting with my wife, driving down Interstate 75, and I must have took it a little bit too far. And she says, 'Are you ever going to grow up? How come all the ladies have their eyebrows? They know what my answer was.' I said, 'No.' So then, I don't know if it was that trip or the next one, I saw a little placard and it said, 'Growing older is not an option. Growing up is.' Guess where that hangs? On our refrigerator. And I've learned that, you know, my wife and I are completely different. I'm outgoing. I can be loud. You know, when we moved to Saginaw, Michigan, my dad bought us boxing gloves. And he says, 'I never want you guys to be bullies, but I want you to be able to protect yourself.' That's the type of family I'm from, you know. And I don't know how many times I've had to ask my wife to forgive me for the same stupid thing that I've done. But I tease the church folks and I say, 'You know what? How many... You don't have to raise your hand. Don't even give me a smirk. How many of you have had to ask God to forgive you for the same sin more than once? Don't smirk. Don't raise your hand. It's going to get worse. 10 times. 50 times. So now, remember, I've been in the church for 39 years. Sometimes... We had a lady in our church, and she just loved Tweety Bird. Tweety Bird had a couple sayings. And one of them was, "Shouldn't ought to have done that." And sometimes I think, "Ron, how can you be so stupid? You know you shouldn't have said, you know you shouldn't have done that. You know you..." I'll give you an example. I'm guilty of road rage sometimes. I've never got physical, but I've gotten verbal. I mean, if I'm on a highway, if I'm 45 miles per hour and you pull out in front of me, put the pedal to the metal. Don't make me hit my brakes. And I'll say something like, you idiot.
That's all.
No. It's if you're going to pull out in front of me, and then one day, it was still, all of Highway 3 was not four lane from Fort Wayne. Some of it was two lane. Well, I got behind this guy. If it was 45, he was doing 37. When it was 55, he hardly be cracking 45. And my wife, she says, you have to be the leader, don't you? I'm an alpha dog, you know? I mean, when I was in the Marines, I was a sergeant. Sometimes when I start acting like that, you know what she says? I didn't know I was in the Marines. Or she'll go, Sergeant Stratman. And that's my personality. Remember the boxing gloves, you know? And so then we get up to where this part of three is four lanes. So we get up to a stoplight. I'm in the left lane. That buzzard's in the right lane. And I look over, and who was it? It was my barber. Yeah. Yeah. God just smote me. You're calling your barber an idiot. And I've been on the road to victory after that. But sometimes I've had to ask God 3,742 times for the same stupid thing. You say, really? I can really only count to 20. Some of you will get that. But I feel like, man, Lord, I'm bringing this to you again. You know what causes us problems? What is this?
Flesh.
And I have to say, Lord, would you please forgive me? I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to do that. What's really worse is when I say something and I make my wife cry. I don't mean to. Literally speaking, I do not know if 490 times has ever come for somebody. But the ideal there is not the actual number. It was a large number to them. They did not have the types of things. They did not have the types of numbering like we have today, but it was a large number, insurmountable. So what's the application? We're to be forgiving people. Even as Christ, as God has forgiven us. And to be merciful. We can't get to the end of the number. Because God will always be forgiving. There's nothing that God won't forgive us of. And then you can have some freedom in your life. God doesn't want you to carry around a burden that he says, just turn it over to me and I'll take care of it. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. It's not. Well, Pastor, you just don't know. How many of you know Charlie Wesco? Knew Charlie Wesco. He was a missionary out of the church there in South Bend. He went to Ghana, West Africa, was there a month, and he was assassinated. And within an hour or two, his parents, his dad was the pastor of the church there, being interviewed, hounded by the South Bend media. And Charlie's dad said, "We've already prayed and forgiven those who were involved in Charlie's death." He was shot, just like the young man about a week ago, Charlie Kirk, assassinated. The only way that happens is that we let God help us with that forgiveness. Well, anybody have a question? I'll try to answer it. I got about 3 minutes? 1:45? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yep. What happened to my phone? There it is. 4 minutes. A question.
Okay, so the two examples you just gave, the family whose child was in Africa and they shot him, assassinated him, and they forgave him, does it stop there or does it go to a civil suit? Do they hold those accountable? Are they required to pay the justification?
There's some civil war activities going on, and from my own, still going on over there in that part of Africa.
But by the family.
How are you going to sue the rebels?
Well, okay, to bring that closer home with Charlie Kirk, you know, I'm sure that Erica, I mean, everybody here knows, have been reading about this for weeks. Has she found forgiveness in her heart?
I think she mentioned something like that.
Okay,
but
now what happens to the man? Because they're seeking the death penalty.
Sure. Well,
where does the forgiveness, when, you understand what I'm asking?
Yeah. What I would think, and one, for the death penalty, I'm all for the death penalty.
So am I.
You know, but in a situation, we have to relinquish control. I believe both Charlies were in the middle of God's will in their life.
Right, I agree.
And God makes no mistakes. We can't take tragedy and turn it against something and try to bring some type. God has his way. God is involved. I just need to be forgiving within that concept and let God handle it. Yes, sir.
Well, basically, it's we need to forgive them because God will do the judging. It's not us that need
right.
to judge.
Right. You know, and
I agree 100% with all of that, but the time is going to come when they're going to be on the stand in a court of law, and you know somebody's going to say, "Erica, what should we do with this man? We will authorize the death penalty."
It would fall very easily within, you know, let the justice system fall. Yeah.
And I mean, I realize it's the government that has the right to bring that through, but that's just my question.
Okay, real quick.
The thing is, God will forgive the sin, but whatever you do,
the consequences of sin are still there.
Yeah, yes. Suffer the laws of the land.
Right.
Go to jail, whatever the courts decide.
Yep.
Hopefully that person will become a Christian. God will forgive him.
It's like Satan was said, there's no sin, no greater than any sin. Sin is sin. Forgiveness is forgiveness.
Right.
Bitterness is bitterness.
Yeah.
You just have to choose how you want to see that in your life.
I got 1 minute. It's 1:44. Quickly.
You have, in the dealing with forgiveness and then relationships, as far as mending or allowing people back into your life, mm-hmm. how do you navigate through that?
Carefully. forgiving somebody doesn't mean you're opening up your arms and, sure, come on back in. It's like if a man is involved in the offerings, but he takes money from the offering, and he comes and makes things right, and say, well, that's okay, brother, you can keep keeping the offerings. You say, no, you can't do that. And even when we forgive sometimes, there has to be some mending, and it depends how that forgiveness wants to, how far back it comes. It's up to both people. One person can't be a doormat and say, okay, I forgive you, and then they start wiping their feet all over you again. You know, that's not proper. So there's got to be a balance there. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. I hope I answered some questions. And let's just trust the Lord about forgiveness.
Amen.
You're dismissed.
Thank you.
Do the good students get suckered?